Chapter 11 Yogic Vision Verses 1 through 4
Arjuna Uvacha Madanugrahaya Paramam Guhyam Adhyatma Sangitam Yetva Yoktam Vachastena Mohoyam Vigato Mama Bhavapya Yauhi Bhutanam Shrutau Vistara Shomaya Tvatta Kamalapatraksha Mahatmyam Api Chavyayam Evam etad yathatat tvamatmanam parameshwara, drashtumichhami te rupam aishwaram purushottama, manyase yadi tat shakyam, maya drashtumiti prabho, yogeshwara, tato me tvam darshayatmanam avyayam.
Arjuna said, Through the words of the supreme secret, called spiritual knowledge, which you have taught, out of your grace and kindness to me. Thereby this delusion of mine has vanished. I have heard from you in detail of the creation and dissolution of beings, as well as your imperishable greatness, O you having eyes like lotus petals. As you have spoken of yourself thus, O Supreme Sovereign, I wish to see your lordly form, O unexcelled spirit. If you believe that it can be seen by me, O Lord, then show me your immutable self, O Lord of Yoga. This chapter is more important than the previous chapters, for it explains both aspects of the Lord, formless and with form. It also describes the goal of mankind. Arjuna understands that the highest secret of Adhyatma, spiritual knowledge, has been imparted to him as a special grace. He also admits that the knowledge expounded by Sri Krishna has dispelled delusion from his mind. He has attained the profound knowledge of the origin of all manifestation and of the universe, for Sri Krishna has imparted the knowledge of the greatness of the Supreme Brahman to him. A great master of yoga, Sri Krishna now leads Arjuna further on the path of self-awareness. Arjuna still has two desires. One is to have profound knowledge of the indescribable and ineffable power of Brahman. Brahman is formless and unmodifiable. It cannot be perceived by the sense organs nor known by the mind. Arjuna's other desire is to see the formless Brahman manifest into forms. He wants to experience both the abstract and concrete manifestations of Brahman. Arjuna requests Sri Krishna to lead him to direct experience of the self-existent power of the Lord. Verses 5-8
Sri Bhagavan Vacha Pashyame Partha Rupani Shatashotha Sahasrashaha Nana vidhani divyani, nana varnakritini cha. Pashya dityan vasun rudran ashvinau marutastatha. Bahunya drishtapurvani, pashyascharyani bharata. Ihaikastam jagat kritstam, pashyadya sacharacharam. Mamadehe gudakesha, yachanya drashtumichasi. Natumam shakyase drashtumane naiva svachakshusha. Divyam dadamite chakshuhu pashyame yogamaishwaram.
The Blessed Lord said, See my multifarious divine forms of many hues and configurations, by hundreds and by thousands. See the Adityas, Vasus, Rudras, Ashwins, as well as the Maruts. See many wonders that have not been seen before, O descendant of Bharata. Today, see the entire world, with everything animate and inanimate, here dwelling in one, in my body, O Master of Sleep, and whatever else you wish to see. However, you cannot see me merely with this eye of your own. I give you a divine eye. See my lordly yoga. Sri Krishna says, O Arjuna, I have innumerable forms of diverse colors and shapes. There are many miraculous things that you have not seen before. The whole universe, both animate and inanimate, exists in one part of my divine body. You are not able to see the whole of my form with your sense perception. Therefore, I will give you a Divya Chakshu, divine eye, through which you can see the form of the Lord as a whole. According to yogic scriptures, the yogi, who with the help of meditation uses his whole being for seeing, has a divine eye that gives him profound vision of the entire universe in a single glance. When the mind is led beyond the concepts and conditionings of time, space, and causation, it can fathom the unfathomable and attain a state of timelessness and infinity. A teacher who is a perfect master of yoga has the capacity to expand the consciousness of his beloved student, to open his divine eye. Sri Krishna performs Shaktipata. He bestows that power and grace on Arjuna, enabling him to see the magnanimous form of the Lord. When the student has practiced meditation, and when he is exhausted and all his efforts have failed, the yogi gives a profound touch to such a student, enabling him to open his divine eye. Sri Krishna, a great teacher and the greatest of yogis, opens Arjuna's divine eye so that he can have a vision of the power of the Supreme Lord at one glance. The yogi can open his own divine eye when he is able to bring his consciousness to the summit of the here and now. Mind is in the habit of either brooding on the past or imagining the future. It has no experience of the present. During meditation, the mind is focused on the now, and thus is capable of having a vision of past, present, and future simultaneously. That is called the timeless state of mind. One who has practiced meditation for a long time understands that it is possible for the meditator to know things happening in the future long before they occur in the external world. These experiences are not accidental or prophetic, but are the outcome of a one-pointed mind, which has the capacity to go beyond the conditionings of time. Ordinarily, human beings can see the diverse forms of the Lord, such as the sun, moon, stars, and other aspects of manifestation, with the help of their eyes, but they do not have the capacity to see the entire universe. Therefore, it is necessary for Sri Krishna to bless Arjuna and open his divine eye. To see the whole universe, the form of the Lord, one needs Divya Chakshu. Without a divine eye, the divine yoga cannot be experienced. Verses 9 through 14.
Sanjaya Uvacha. Eva muktva tato rajan mahayogeshwaro harihi darshayamasa parthaya paramam rupam aishwaram aneka vaktra nayanam aneka adbhuta darshanam aneka divyabharanam divyanekodyatayudham divya malyambaradharam divya gandhanulepanam sarvascharyamayam devam anantam vishvato mukham divi surya sahasrasya bhavet yugapatuttita Yadibha sadrushi sasyat asastasya mahatmanah. Tatrai kastham jagat krishnam pravibhaktam anekadha apashya deva devasya sharire pandavastada. Tata savishmaya vishto vishtaroma dhananjayaha pranamya shirasa devam krutanjali rabhashata.
Sanjaya said, having stated thus, O King, Krishna, the sovereign of great yoga, showed to the son of Pritha his supreme, lordly form. Having many faces and eyes, with many wondrous views, wearing many divine ornaments, bearing many divine weapons held ready, wearing divine garlands and vestments, anointed with divine perfumes, comprising all wonders, the endless God facing in all directions. If there were to rise the brilliance of 1,000 suns in heaven, that would be similar to the brilliance of that great souled one. Then the Pandava saw there in the body of the God of Gods the entire universe, divided multifariously, dwelling in one. Then, possessed by amazement, that Dhananjaya, with his hairs standing on end, with his hands clasped, and bowing with his head, addressed God. Let the reader remember that Sanjaya also had Divya Chakshu, a divine eye. He was appointed to observe the entire battlefield, and he submitted first-hand reports to the sage Vyasa. Vyasa recorded all the teachings of the Bhagavad Gita that were imparted by the yogi Sri Krishna to his beloved friend and disciple Arjuna. Dhritarashtra, the blind king, also requested Sanjaya to explain to him what was taking place on the battlefield. Sanjaya told Dhritarashtra that Sri Krishna, the great lord of yoga, has opened Arjuna's divine eye and is showing him the form of the highest lord. That form has innumerable faces, countless eyes, is endowed with all sorts of glistening ornaments, holds countless weapons in his innumerable hands, wears many glistening garlands and garments, and is full of divine fragrance. It is more lustrous than the light that thousands of suns could radiate. Arjuna has this profound vision of the whole universe in the body of the God of Gods. Astonished, his hair stands on end. He bows with praying hands and stands before the Lord. Bowing indicates submission and self-surrender. Praying hands means that one is conscious that the individual soul and the universal soul should unite. That union is the purpose of human life. Praying hands is a gesture that the student makes to his revered teacher. It is also the way of greeting someone in Indian culture and means, I bow to the divinity in you. Sanjaya is able to see the universal form of the Lord because he has the same divine eye as Arjuna. There are, in fact, other heroes in the battlefield who are able to see the divine form of the Lord. They are equally gifted by the grace of God and the grace of their yoga teachers. Although we often hear and use the word grace, it has never been satisfactorily explained by philosophy and psychology. Grace comes to one who deserves it. It does not come out of desire. When the aspirant has attained a height of spiritual knowledge, and when he has exhausted all human efforts, then dawns the knowledge to that deserving one who has honestly, sincerely, and truthfully followed the path of yoga. No doubt it is a gift received by the aspirant, a reward he receives to enable him to accomplish the task he has assumed. Many students, without making sincere efforts, pray to God for His grace. In their hearts and minds, they are fully aware that they do not deserve grace, yet they desire it. Desire not, but deserve, and you will have it. Verses 15 through 31.
Arjuna Uvacha. Pashyami devanstava deva dehe sarvanstatha bhuta vishesha sanghan. Brahmanam isham kamalasanastham rishischa sarvan uragansch divyan. Aneka bahu daravakta netram pashyamitvam sarvato nantarupam. Nantam namadhyam napunastavadim pashyami vishveshvara vishvarupa. Kiritinam gadinam chakrinam cha tejo rashim sarvato deeptimantam pashyamitvam durnirikshyam samantat deeptanalarka dutimaprameyam. Tvamaksharam paramam veditavyam tvamasya vishvasya param nidhanam tvamavyayaha shashvata dharma gopta sanatanastvam purusho matome. Anadi madhyanta mananta virya mananta bahum shashi surya netram pashyamitvam deepta hutashavaktram svatejasa vishwamidam tapantam. Dhyava prithivyori damantaram hi vyaptam tvayaikena dishascha sarvaha drishtvadbhutam rupam ugram tavedam lokatrayam pravyathitam mahatman. Amihitvam surasangha vishanti kechid bhitaha pranjala yogrunanti swastik yuktva maharshir siddha sangaha स्तुवन्तित्वां स्तुतिभिः पुष्कलाभिः रुद्रादित्या वसवो ये च साध्या विश्वेश्विनौ मरुतश्चोष्मपाश्च गन्धर्वयक्षासुरसिद्धसङ्घा वीक्षन्ते त्वां विस्मिताश्चैव सर्वे रूपं महत्ते बहुवक्त्रनेत्रं महाबाहो बहुबाहूरुपादम् बहूदरं बहुदंष्ट्राकरालं दृष्ट्वा लोका प्रव्यथितास्तथाहम् नभःस्पृशं दीप्तमनेकवर्णं व्यात्ताननं दीप्तविशालनेत्रं दृष्ट्वा हि त्वां प्रव्यथितान्तरात्मा धृतिं न विन्दामि शमं च विष्णो दंष्ट्राकरालानि च ते मुखानि दृष्ट्वैव कालानलसन्निभानि दिशो न जाने न लभे च शमम् प्रसीद देवेश जगन्निवास अमी च त्वां धृतराष्ट्रस्य पुत्राः सर्वे सहैवा विनिपालसङ्घैः भीष्मो द्रोणः सूतपुत्रस्तथासौ सहास्मदीयैरपि योधमुख्यैः वक्त्राणि ते त्वरमाणा विशन्ति दंष्ट्राकरालानि भयानकानि केचिद्विलग्ना दशनान्तरेषु सन्दृश्यन्ते चूर्णितैरुत्तमाङ्गैः यथा नदीनां बहवोऽम्बुवेगाः समुद्रमेवाविमुखाद्रवन्ति तथा तवामि नरलोकवीरा विशन्ति वक्त्राण्यभिविज्ज्वलन्ति यथा प्रदीप्तं ज्वलनं पतङ्गा विशन्ति नाशाय समृद्धवेगाः तथैव नाशाय विशन्ति लोकास्तवापि वक्त्राणि समृद्धवेगाः लेलिह्यसे ग्रसमानः समन्ताल्लोकान् समग्रान् वदनैर्ज्वलद्भिः तेजोभिरापूर्य जगत्समग्रम् भासस्तवोग्रा प्रतपन्ति विष्णो आख्याहि मे को भवानुग्ररूपो नमोऽस्तु ते देववरप्रसीद विज्ञातुमिच्छामि भवन्तमाद्यम् न हि प्रजानामि तव प्रवृत्तिम्
Arjuna said, O God, I see in your body all the gods, as well as groups of differentiated beings. Brahma, the Lord, sitting on the lotus seat. All the seers, as well as celestial serpents. I see you having many arms, bellies, faces, eyes, with unending forms in all directions. O Sovereign of the universe, bearing universal forms, I see not your end, nor middle, nor again your beginning. I see you bearing a crown, a mace, a discus. You are a heap of light, effulgent in all directions, very difficult to look at, immeasurable, and all around brilliant like a blazing fire and the sun. You are the indestructible syllable, the supreme object of knowledge. You are the transcendental repository of this universe. You are the immutable one, the guardian of eternal law, Dharma. I believe you to be the eternal spirit. I see you without beginning, middle, or end, of unending virility, with endless arms, with the moon and the sun for your eyes, your face like a blazing fire that receives oblation offerings, scorching this universe with your effulgence. This interval between heaven and earth is indeed pervaded by you alone, and so are all the points of the compass. Seeing this fearsome, wondrous form, all the three worlds are disquieted, O great-souled one. These groups of gods are entering you, some of them afeared, singing praises to you with hands clasped. The group of great sages and adepts, saying, May it fare well, praise you with ample hymns. Rudras, Adityas, Vasus, Sadyas, Vishvedevas, Ashwins, Maruts, Ushmapas, Gandharvas, Yakshas, Asuras, and Siddhas, in many groups, look at you, and are all amazed. Your great form with many faces and eyes, O mighty armed one, with many arms, thighs, and feet, with many bellies, terrible, with many jaws. Seeing it, all the worlds are troubled with fear, and so am I. Touching the sky, blazing with many hues, with mouth wide open, with huge burning eyes, seeing you, with my inner self trembling in fear, I do not find consolation or peace, O Vishnu. Seeing your mouths, terrible with jaws that appear like the fire of time, I lose the sense of direction and find no solace. Be pleased, O Lord of Gods, the dwelling place of the universe. Those sons of Dhritarashtra, together with all the groups of kings, Bhishma, Drona, and Suta's son Kama, together with our own chief warriors. They hasten and enter your mouths, which are fearsome and awful with jaws. Some, stuck in the interstices of your teeth, are seen with their heads crushed to powder. As the many flows of the waters of rivers run only toward the ocean, so the brave warriors of the human world, burning on all sides, are entering your mouths. As moths, with increasing speed, enter the blazing fire for their destruction, similarly, the worlds with increased speed also enter your mouths toward their destruction. With flaming tongues, you are swallowing from all sides all the worlds with burning mouths, filling the entire world with effulgences. Your terrible lights are scorching it, O Vishnu. Do tell me, who are you of fearsome form? Salutations to you, best of gods. Do be pleased. I wish to know you, the first one. I do not know your movement at all. Arjuna, having seen the cosmic form of the Divine Lord, is astonished and terrified. That vision overwhelms him, and he says, O Lord, I see in your cosmic body all the divine powers, the king of gods, Brahma, seated on the lotus, sages, and serpents. He sees that the Lord of Lords is not only merciful, but also the cruel fire of annihilation. To accept life and the universe with all its diversities in wisdom. That which is pleasant is not necessarily good, and that which is good is not necessarily pleasant. Pain and pleasure are inseparably mingled. They have separate realities only on the gross level of consciousness. That which is visualized by the ordinary man is limited because of his limited sense perception. When consciousness travels upward toward the higher realms of life, the vision is completely different. That which is pleasant or painful on the gross level of consciousness is not then pleasant or painful, but is something different and extraordinary in its nature. When the mind becomes inward, it encounters the reality of inner dimensions of life, and one is astonished to see how the sense perceptions are distorted on the gross level of consciousness. Here one can examine, analyze, and understand the limitations of sense perception. When the whole mind becomes an eye, it captures the vision of the subtle realms within, with all their profundities. It is able to grasp unfathomable levels by itself, without help of the sense organs. It is able to analyze and judge as a witness, as a seer of the unknown and unfathomable levels of life. When the mind floats in the divine consciousness of infinite knowledge, it is able to see the causes of all the gross manifestations seen by the sense organs. That diversity which is seen on the gross level of consciousness does not exist in the inner world, because in the causal world everything remains inseparably mingled. That which is lawful and unlawful, good and bad, pleasant and unpleasant in the external world, is not experienced in the same way. That which is seen as a tree, a mountain, or an ocean in the external world is seen in the causal realm as a seed in its subtle, potential form. In that realm, apprehension and comprehension are totally different. The sage sees things as they are in their totality, in an unbroken, undivided form, whereas the ordinary mind is unable to have the vision of the whole for lack of a divine eye. Prolonged association with the objects of the world creates attachment for the human mind and obscures the vision of the whole. But when the divine eye is opened, one's previous values regarding the objects of the world change, and a new level of life is fathomed. Then the reality is experienced in an entirely different light. The aspirant who has not raised the primal force, Kundalini, experiences the lowest and grossest level of life, the projections of his lower mind, and sees only evil, devils, and demons, because he is under the influence of his lower nature. But when the primal force is awakened, and when this ascending force of consciousness fathoms higher and more subtle levels of life, the aspirant has the vision of the finer forces of life related to the aesthetic sense of mind. He then sees all things as beautiful. If one sees something from one angle, it looks ugly. But if he sees the same thing from a different angle, it looks exceedingly beautiful. It depends upon one's vantage point. When one attains a higher level of consciousness with the force of the ascending divinity within, he sees things entirely differently. He experiences joy, happiness, and peace. One experiences no confusion or conflict, for there one neither sees divisions, nor does he see things in a partial way. Then he is aware of one unbroken entity. If we view all these things, the gross, subtle, and subtlest levels, at one glance, and put them together and see them as a whole rather than separately, that vision will be overwhelming. When one goes to the innermost level of consciousness from which spring all the diverse forms of the universe, he comes to know that the manifestation of diversity has only one source, which we call unity. Unity and diversity is the law of life. When one is able to visualize both, he becomes astonished at the difference between the apparent reality and the underlying reality. With his divine eye, Arjuna is able to have the profound vision of the whole universe being born and dying, going to the depths of the unmanifested one, and then all forms arising anew. That vision makes him realize that his grief and despondency are self-created because of his attachments to objects and relationships of the mundane world. With the grace of God, a sage or a competent teacher, the yogi is able to have divine vision. When the ascending force of human endeavor has attained its height, then dawns Shakti, the grace of the higher self. Those who are fortunate to have that grace receive knowledge through vision, and not through the mind. The question arises, why didn't Sri Krishna give Arjuna the divine eye in the very beginning? The answer is that Arjuna was not then prepared to have that vision. His mind was confused and plunged into sorrow. In the modern world too, the aspirant goes to his teacher confused, and the teacher prepares him for experiencing the higher levels of consciousness. But until the student is fully prepared, the teacher does not impart the subtle knowledge and techniques. After Arjuna has accepted Sri Krishna as Lord incarnate and received the knowledge of life and the universe, he becomes eager to have a vision of the whole of the universe. After examining the objects of the world in a divided way, Arjuna now wants to see the whole form of the Lord, which contains all the innumerable forms of the universe. Yet that vision terrifies and astonishes Arjuna. When the student awakens the Kundalini, he has similar experiences and sometimes becomes so terrified that he wants to abandon his practices. During that period, the competent teacher helps him to continue his practices and to attain the highest level of consciousness. Verses 32 through 34.
Sri Bhagavanu Vacha. Kalosmi lokak shayakrit pravruddho lokan samahartum iha pravrutta. Rite pitvam na bhavishyanti sarve yevasthita pratyanikeshu yodhaha. Tasmatvam uttishta yasho labhasva jitva shatrun bhungshva rajyam samruddham. Mayai vete nihata purvameva nimittamatram bhavasavya sachin. Dronam cha bhishmam cha jayadratham cha karnam tathanyan api yodha viran maya hatans tvam jahi ma vyatishtha yudhyasva jeta sirane sapatnan.
The Blessed Lord said, I am time waxing, destroyer of the worlds, moving here to gather back the worlds. Even with you, all these will cease to be, the warriors who are standing in each of the armies. Therefore rise and gain reputation. Conquering the enemy, enjoy the prosperous kingdom. They are already killed by you. You become merely an instrument, O expert at shooting with the left hand. Drona, Bhishma, Jayadrata, Kama, as well as all the brave warriors, they are already killed by me. Destroy them. Do not suffer hesitation. Fight. You are going to be a winner of enemies in the battle. Arjuna is convinced, yet bewildered by the vision, and he wants Sri Krishna to remove his confusion concerning the destructive aspect of the Lord. Sri Krishna says to Arjuna that the highest Lord has the capacity to annihilate and assimilate all the manifestations and beings in the same way that he has the capacity to create them. His power of annihilation should not be misunderstood as cruelty, for the Lord is compassionate and loves his children in exactly the same way that a loving mother loves her children. But if there is an abscess anywhere in the body, the mother takes her child to the surgeon to have it removed. It is a painful experience for the child, and he cries in the pain and agony that is experienced. But the mother knows that if the abscess is not removed, it will infect the whole body. Similarly, Arjuna is aware of the fact that the army standing before him is unjust and unrighteous, and that if it is not destroyed, the unjust and unrighteous rulers will rule in unlawful ways, and thus destroy the whole nation. Sri Krishna says to Arjuna, consider them already dead. Have you not seen them being annihilated by my force of destruction? Have you not seen them being swallowed by Kala, time? All things in this mortal world are subject to time. Everything is annihilated by time. Therefore, Arjuna, you are only an instrument. Fight the battle, for it is the battle of the upward march to final liberation. You should accomplish the mission of your life by establishing the kingdom of Dharma. You are only an instrument. Verses 35-46.
Sanjaya Uvacha. Etat Shrutva Vachanam Keshavasya Kritanjalir Vepa Manah Kiriti Namaskritva Bhuya Evah Krishnam Sagadgadam Bhita Bhita Pranamya. Arjuna Uvacha. Sthane Hrishikesha Tava Prakirtya Jagat Prahrishyatyanurajyate cha Rakshamsi Bhitani Dishodravanti Sarve Namasyanti cha Siddha Sangha Kasmacha Tena Nameran Mahatman Gariyase Brahmanopyadikartre Ananta Devesha Jagannivasa Tumaksharam Sadasat Tatparam Yat Tvamadi Devaha Purushaha Puranas Tvamasya Vishvasya Param Nidhanam Vetasi Vedyam cha Param cha Dhama Tvayatatam Vishvam Ananta Rupa Vayur Yamognir Varunas Shashanka Prajapatis Tvam Prapitamahascha Namo Namaste Stu Sahasra Kritvaha Punascha Bhuyopi Namo Namaste Namah Purastadatat Prishtataste Namostute sarvata eva sarva, ananta virya mita vikramastvam, सर्वं समाप्नोषि ततोऽसि सर्वः। सखेति मत्वा प्रसभं यदुक्तं, हे कृष्ण हे यादव हे सखेति, अजानता महिमान तवेदं, मया प्रमादात् प्रणयेन वापि। यच्चावहासार्थमसत्कृतोऽसि विहारशय्यासनभोजनेषु, एकोत्थवाप्यच्युत तत्समक्षं, तत् क्षामये त्वामहमप्रमेयम्। पितासि लोकस्य चराचरस्य, त्वमस्य पूज्यस्य गुरुर्गरीयान्, न त्वत्समोऽस्त्यभ्यधिककुतोऽन्यो लोकत्रयेऽप्यप्रतिमप्रभाव। तस्मात् प्रणम्य प्रणिधाय कायं, प्रसादये त्वामहमीशमीड्यम्। पितेव पुत्रस्य सखेव सख्युः, प्रियः प्रियायार्हसि देव सोढुम्। अदृष्टपूर्वं हृषितोऽस्मि दृष्ट्वा, भयेन च प्रव्यथितं मनो मे, तदेव मे दर्शय देवरूपं, प्रसीद देवेश जगन्निवास। किरीटिनं गदिनं चक्रहस्तं इच्छामि त्वां द्रष्टुमहं तथैव, तेनैव रूपेण चतुर्भुजेन सहस्रबाहो भव विश्वमूर्ते।
Sanjaya said, hearing these words of Keshava, his hands clasped, trembling, wearing a crown, bowing again and again, Arjuna addressed Krishna with a trembling voice, exceedingly afraid, prostrating. Arjuna said, aptly, O Lord of senses, by glorifying you the world rejoices and is attracted with love toward you. The demonic ones are running in all directions, afraid. The multitudes of adepts are all bowing to you. Wherefore they should not bow to you, O great-souled one, the greatest, the creator even of Brahma, in the beginning, endless. Lord of the gods, the dwelling place of the world, you, the indestructible syllable, existent, non-existent, and whatever is beyond these. You are the first God, the ancient spirit. You are the transcendental repository of this universe. You are the knower, the object of knowledge, and the transcendent abode. O you of endless forms, this universe is spanned and permeated by you. You are Vayu, Yama, Agni, Varuna, the moon, the progenitor, and the great-grandfather. Salutations, salutations be to you 1,000 times, and again, and even more again, salutations, salutations to you. Salutations in front of you, and behind you. Salutations be to you from all sides. O all, you of endless power and immeasurable stride, fill and pervade everything totally. Therefore, you are all. Thinking you my friend, whatever I said impetuously, O Krishna, O Yadava, O friend, not knowing this glory of yours, inadvertently, as well as out of affection, as I have been disrespectful out of jest in occasion of sport, sleep, or dining, alone or in the presence of others. O infallible one, I beg you, who are immeasurable, to forgive me. You are the father of the moving and unmoving world. You are the honorable, greatest guru. There is no one equal to you. How can anyone excel even in the three worlds, O you of unequaled power? Therefore, bowing, with lowered body, I seek your indulgence. You who are the sovereign object of praises, like father to son, like friend to friend, like a dear one to the beloved, O God, you must forgive me. Happy at seeing what was never seen before, yet my mind is trembling with fear. Show me, God, the same previous form. Be pleased, O sovereign of gods, dwelling place of the worlds. I want to see you the same way as before, wearing crown, bearing mace, with discus in hand. Be of the same four-armed form, O thousand-armed one, whose form is the universe. Listening to Sri Krishna tell him that his enemies are already dead, and that he should simply become an instrument to secure victory, the thought arises in Arjuna's mind that the Lord has done so much for him. He realizes that he is not accepting the victory that is so kindly being granted to him. Trembling with fear and humility, he salutes the Lord and praises him. Trembling with fear here means that when one encounters his own weaknesses and inadequacies, he first tries to deny them. But when he faces them, he becomes overwhelmed with emotion. He realizes his inadequacies, becomes humble, and wants to remove them. Sanjaya narrates this whole situation to the blind king Dhritarashtra. The true yogi and aspirant always finds delight in exclaiming the qualities and powers of the Lord. He is devoted and thinks of the Lord all the time. He does not know how to think otherwise. He remains overwhelmingly inspired by his experiences and thoughts of the divine. The wicked, however, do not make efforts to understand and know the glory of the Lord. They do not like to hear about the Lord, for in their egoism, they consider themselves lords unto themselves. They keep themselves away from satsanga, the company of the sages. But the day comes when even the wicked become disappointed with the fleeting enjoyments of the world. Then they realize the existence of God and pray to Him for His forgiveness. Only the humble and awakened enjoy listening to the talks of the great sages. Those who are awakened know that the Lord is the first cause of the whole universe, the fountainhead of all knowledge, the one who is the final abode of all. He manifests this universe and pervades it. His is the only power that appears in many ways, such as Agni, fire, and Vayu, the vital breath. The fire of life and the vital breath are thus the Lord's own aspects. He is infinite, having infinite forms. It is the Lord alone who protects. He is the teacher of teachers, and His glory cannot be equaled. Those who are aware of the greatness of God remain in delight and sing the praises of the Lord. There are only a fortunate few who are in love with the Lord. The wicked remain away. The Lord of life and the universe is the first cause, complete in itself. Therefore, He is worthy of salutations. The sages follow the path of divinity, for there is only one truth without a second. When one realizes that unity in diversity and knows that there is only one truth and that all forms are but the forms of only one, then service to all becomes service to oneself. Hating others is hating oneself. Loving all is loving oneself. On this code is founded the Dharma of mankind. The duty of mankind is to love all and exclude none. Many enjoy singing the song of the Lord when they see the excellence of the Lord in the universe. Whether they know the Lord or not, and whether they are conscious of it or not, admiring the beauty of any aspect of the Lord is, in fact, admiring the highest Lord. Both the wicked and the sage are manifestations of the Lord. Anything that exists in the universe is His manifestation. Whenever a person is attracted to anything, he is in fact drawn to the glory possessed by the Lord. The sages and yogis experience and realize that truth, whereas others spontaneously appreciate God's creation but are not aware of the omnipresence of the Lord. The ignorant person acts under the influence of his ignorance. If he first acquires right knowledge and then learns to admire God's creation, he will be liberated. The mind of an ignorant person is delighted by the charms and temptations of the world, and in fact, the delight too is part of the Lord's nature. Whatever man describes, acts, and feels is actually the description of the Lord only. The Lord is the first cause of all. He is complete in Himself. The wicked are afraid of Him, but the accomplished yogi delightfully salutes Him. all the things existing and non-existent, animate and inanimate, and beyond these are but the Lord's own form. Whatever is beyond Sat, that which exists, and Asat, that which does not exist, is also the Lord's form. His external, gross form is called Asat, for it goes through change and destruction. But his subtlest form is not subject to change. The Lord is most ancient, ever-existent, and the refuge of the whole universe. He is the object, the knowledge, and the knower. In any direction one moves, he cannot go anywhere but to the Lord, who has countless forms. Vayu, the vital breath. Yama, the Lord of death. Agni, fire. Varuna, the Lord of water. Chandra, the moon. Prajapati, Vishnu, Shankara, and so on. All there is the Lord himself. All these aspects of the divinity have different functions, but they function because of the power of the Lord. As one human being plays many roles and is called by various names according to the actions and roles he performs, so is the case with the Lord, whose aspects of manifestation differ in quality, action, and form, yet have arisen from one absolute truth, Brahman. Arjuna formerly related to Sri Krishna merely as a friend, for he did not know his greatness. Now that Arjuna has seen the cosmic form of the Lord, he asks to be pardoned for having treated Sri Krishna lightly. He prays to Sri Krishna to forgive him for any disrespect. Most people jokingly lie or say things that are not true because they are not aware of the truth. They do not know that the Lord is both within and without, and that all the strength, for whatever one does, is received from one and the same source, the Lord. Arjuna, whose heart is purified by Sri Krishna, realizes that. But those whose hearts are not pure do not realize the truth. The Lord is the Father of all that moves and moves not. He is the highest of all preceptors. There is none equivalent to him. In all the three realms of consciousness, gross, subtle, and subtlest, there is only one present all the time, and that is the Lord. One who devotes his life to the Lord alone is forgiven by the Lord, as good parents forgive their child. The Lord is very kind and forgives all those who pray to him. The aspirant should pray to the Lord for forgiveness of his blunders. Prayer strengthens constant awareness. Without constant awareness, one slips from the path and wastes his time and energy doing things that are harmful to himself and others. Prayer gives strength, and repentance prevents the aspirant from doing that which is harmful. Astonished by what he has been shown and still fearful, Arjuna says, "O Lord, be pleased and show me thy gentle form." Arjuna prays to Sri Krishna, who shows him the Chaturbhuja, his four-armed form. Having heard this request, Sri Krishna, with full affection for his dear devotee, looks at Arjuna and responds.
Verses 47-50. Shri Bhagavan Vacha. Maya prasannena tava Rupam param darshitam atma yogat. Tejo mayam vishwam anantam adyam. Yanme tvadanyena nadrishtapurvam. Na veda yajnyadhyayanair na danair na chakriyabhir na tapobhir ugraihi. Evam rupa shakya aham ruloke drashtum tvadanyena kurupravira. Mate vyatha macha vimuda bhavo drishta rupam ghoram idrang mamedam. Vyapeta bhi prita mana punastvam tadeva me rupamidam prapashya. Sanjaya vacha. Ityarjunam vasudevas tathoktva svakam rupam darshaya masa bhuyaha. Ashvasaya masa cha bhita menam bhutva punah saumya vapur mahatma.
The Blessed Lord said, "Pleased with you, O Arjuna, I have shown you through the yoga of self this transcendent form of mine, consisting of light, being universal, being endless, being the first one, which was never seen by anyone other than you before. Neither through the Vedas, sacrifices, or studies, nor by charities, nor by actions, nor by fierce ascetic observations can I be seen in this form in the human world by anyone other than you, O the bravest among Kurus. Be not afeared, nor be confused seeing this, such a fearsome form of mine. Dismissing your fear with a happy mind, see again this same previous form of mine. Sanjaya said, The indwelling one, having addressed Arjuna thus, showed him again his own previous form, and consoled him, as he was afraid, the great-souled one again assuming a pleasant-looking body. These verses indicate that the universal form of the Lord can indeed be visualized. The aspirant can attain this profound vision of the form of the Lord by practicing Atma Yoga, by making full efforts, utilizing all human resources, and by the grace of the Lord. Anyone who dedicates himself to the Lord can have such a vision. True dedication requires that one attain non-attachment and tranquility. Surrender the fruits of his action to the Lord only, and remember the Lord in every breath of his life. The Lord of life has a threefold mission: protection of the good, annihilation of the evil, and establishment of the good conduct of life. Arjuna, having seen the cosmic vision of the Lord, dedicates himself to the Lord's mission. Any aspirant who dedicates himself to the Lord will be able to see the universal form of the Lord, as Arjuna did. But if the aspirant thinks that he can attain that profound vision through scriptural knowledge, by giving gifts, by doing good actions, or by performing rituals, he is wrong, for that is not possible. There are two conditions that enable one to have such a vision of the Lord. First, one should know Atma Yoga, and second, he must receive the grace of the mighty Lord. Sri Krishna says that the universal form of the Lord was never seen by anyone before. That means that only a fortunate few can have such a vision. It does not mean that no aspirant can ever have that vision. It should be remembered here that Sanjaya is also gifted with a divine eye, and he is equally astonished to see the vision of the cosmic Lord. Sri Krishna says, O Arjuna, do not be frightened or dismayed by the cosmic form that you have seen. Maintain your balance and keep your mind tranquil, and now be aware of my human form once again. The aspirant who practices Kundalini Yoga under the competent guidance of a yogi also attains profound visions while traversing from one level of consciousness to another. But only dedicated yogis who practice Atma Yoga and who deserve the grace of the Lord are able to see the vision described here in all its glory. Verse 51.
Arjuna Uvacha. Drishtvedam manusham rupam tava saumyam janardana idani masmi samvruttaha sacheta prakritim gataha.
Arjuna said, Seeing this pleasant human form of yours, O Krishna, I have recovered my senses and returned to my natural feelings. Arjuna says, Lord, having seen thy human form, I have recovered my normal consciousness and have come back to my usual nature. This verse indicates that Arjuna's consciousness during the period in which he had the cosmic vision of the Lord was quite different from the experience one usually has during the waking state. Surely he was not dreaming either. It is a state of expanded consciousness and not of unconsciousness, for in a state of unconsciousness one does not remember what he sees or visualizes. It is a consciousness similar to that of samadhi, in which the mind remains tranquil, yet the aspirant remains fully conscious. In fact, it is a state between the sleeping state and samadhi. During yoga nidra, yogic sleep, the student learns to expand his consciousness, yet remains in deep sleep. This can be called sleepless sleep. That which cannot be known during the waking, dreaming, and sleeping states can be known during yogic sleep. Opening the divine eye is similar to yogic sleep, but not exactly the same. It is possible only when a perfect yogi does shaktipat, bestows grace to that student who has been faithfully practicing yoga and who has already attained a deep state of concentration and meditation, yet still finds himself incapable of attaining the highest state of samadhi. One cannot attain samadhi by the application of human efforts alone. Grace helps him to remove the last stumbling block. Seeing a vision or opening the divine eye is a case of shaktipat, in which the yogi opens the aspirant's third eye with his touch or gaze. But this is done only in rare cases, and not in the way modern teachers claim to do it, with anyone and everyone. Sri Krishna says that by practicing Atma Yoga and with the grace of God, the aspirant can also have a similar vision. Verses 52 through 55.
Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. Sudurdarshamidam rupam drishtavanasi yanmama. Devapapyasya rupasya nityam darshanakankshinah. Naham vedair na tapasa na danena na chejaya. Chakya evam vidho drashtum drishtavanasi mam yatha. Bhaktyatvananyaya shakya aham evam vidho arjuna. Jnatum drashtum cha tatvena praveshtum cha parantapa. Mat karma krin mat paramo mat bhakta sangavarjitaha nirvairaha sarvabhuteshu ya.
The Blessed Lord said, "This form of mine, very difficult to see, that you have seen. Even gods are ever desirous of seeing this form. Not through the Vedas, nor by ascetic observances, nor by charity, nor through sacrifices, can I be seen in this nature as you have seen me. O Arjuna, only through devotion directed toward none other can I be seen and known in reality, and be entered, O scorcher of enemies. Performing my act, holding me as supreme, my devotee devoid of attachments, whoever is free of animosity toward all beings, he comes to me." Sri Krishna says that the profound vision of the cosmic Lord that was seen by Arjuna is extremely difficult to attain. Those who tread the path of divinity aspire to have the same vision, but that vision cannot be received by studying the Vedas, by practicing austerities or self-mortification, by giving gifts, or by performing sacrificial rites. It can be experienced only when one has one-pointed devotion, Ananya Bhava, which means, "I am not different." Only when the aspirant completely gives up all attachment to the people and objects of the world, dedicates his whole life to the service of mankind, and performs all his actions for the Lord alone, can he visualize the universal form of the Lord and realize the pure self. When the aspirant constantly practices the method of Ananya Bhava, he establishes a oneness with his real self. He does not think of himself as different from the real self. It is only possible to attain that state when one stops identifying with the objects of the world and establishes himself in his true nature. Here ends the 11th chapter, in which profound knowledge and vision of the cosmic Lord is imparted.